There is so much. When I think about imagining church, there are so many things that I've thought, that I've imagined, that I've wondered, what if we could be like this? What if church looked like this? But as I've reflected more, as I've listened and read scripture, I realized that I don't have to make up what church should be, because God has given us the church and he has already shown us who we are as the church. And so I'm thankful for scripture and that we can look to scripture and discover what it really means to be church, which actually sometimes does kind of ignite our imagination, because we don't always experience church as God has given it to us and created us. So I want us to begin by reading scripture. And if you have a Bible, there's Bibles around. If you want to follow along, feel free to do that. I'm reading, last week Elaine began this in chapter 18, and I'm reading kind of like the continuation of what she explored last week in Matthew 18. So I'll be reading starting at verse 21. And you might have a title in your Bible that says The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. That's where I'm picking it up from. And so we'll read from there. And last week, Elaine was looking at conflict. Interesting start to imagining church. But that whole idea of how to deal with conflict. And I listened to her sermon. I wasn't here, but I listened to it. And she asked the question, can you imagine a church in which the relationships are such that the community can gather around conflict, confront the wrong that's done, and remain strong? What a question. Imagine that. Well, what we're going to read here in Matthew 18, starting at verse 21, kind of continues on that conversation of conflict. Because we read, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to seven times? I want to pause for a minute. I think I need to read that differently. Lord, this is how I imagine Peter. Lord, how many times should I forgive? Up to seven times. I want you to catch that. I think that Peter was thinking, this is so good. I'm going to name seven. Because in his time, the rabbis only required you to forgive someone a maximum of three times. And they based that on Old Testament kind of things, three times. So here's Peter thinking, oh, okay, Jesus has just talked about dealing with conflict, so I'm going to double and add one. How many times? And he was thinking, you know, here I am. So, okay, back to scripture now. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from your heart. This is God's word for us this morning. I don't know if I want to say thanks be to God. Those are hard words, aren't they? Now, I do want to mention, this is a parable. This is a story. Jesus spoke in stories. I am not sure. I wonder if this is always meant to be taken literally. I don't want to make a direct, literal kind of correlation to this is how God's going to treat us. He's going to throw us out if we don't forgive. But I do think that this message is one we need to hear and does have a tough message for us today to listen to. And I'm a guest, so I can speak a tough one. You don't have to invite me back. Forgiveness, forgiving someone is not easy. About 13 or so years ago, I had been meeting with someone who was a mentor, a spiritual director of mine, and we were working through, I had not come to Walmer yet. This is not about Walmer. I had just finished at a pastoring at another church that, as any being in any community, it's difficult. But there was a particular situation that I had moved through. It's not why I left that church, but the effects of this relationship with one of the people was really hard on me because she was so hurtful to me. I was so hurt and angry by her. And I did leave there, but I had moved on, and I thought I had dealt with things. And then I was meeting with this mentor, Krista, and Elaine actually knows her. And Krista was an older woman, very tough. And we were in our session, and she started kind of talking with me about this whole area of forgiveness and unforgiveness that she saw in me, and particularly in this situation. So we explored this situation more, and I explained more, and I was justified. Let me just say, I'm justified in my anger. This person was awful from my perspective. But what happened, it was difficult. But Krista said, you need to forgive her. And I said, oh, yeah, I get it. We got to forgive. We're forgiving people. She's like, no, you actually really need to forgive her, and I don't think you have, and I don't think you are. And what she ended up doing is leading me through this exercise, this prayer time, and she said, Tanya, you need to say out loud, I choose to forgive, and she made me say the name of the person, and you have to do that in prayer. You need to do that, Tanya, or you cannot continue as a pastor and as a leader. This will eat you up, and you will be no good to anyone. And I thought, okay, fine, all right, I'll humor her, I'll say the prayer. So we went into this time of prayer, and we got to it. God, Lord, I choose to forgive. And I couldn't say her name. I couldn't actually just fake it. I couldn't say it. And I know, and I'm thankful. I know it was the Spirit of God saying, you can't, you do have to do this work. And we sat there, and it felt like hours. It was probably maybe 20 minutes, but it felt like a long time. Krista sat with me, and she waited. And I'm sure she was praying for me that I would get to this place. And we just sat there. And eventually, by the grace of God, I was very quiet, but Krista had good hearing. I said, I choose to forgive. And I named her name. Krista stopped right there, and she celebrated with me. It startled me a bit because it had been quiet. She celebrated, and she said, Tanya, you have no idea how important that was and what you've just done. I am so proud of you, she said. I'm so proud of you for saying that. And I said, but, like, so we talked about how I actually couldn't say it, how it took so long, and we processed some of that. And then she said, and I said, but I'm still hurt. And she said, yes, you are, and that's okay. But you have to forgive. You have no choice, is what she said to me. She did not mince words at all. You have no choice but to forgive. But it doesn't end here. You have to keep choosing to forgive her. And she said, here's your homework. You need to go home, and every single morning, for as long as it takes, you need to keep saying every morning her name out loud. I choose to forgive, and her name. and you allow Jesus to help you live out that forgiveness. That made a powerful impact on me, and that really started me on a journey of recognizing why we need to forgive each other and how the hurt that we hold on to is just, it's not, if one thing, it's not allowed, it's not possible as followers of Jesus. Now, I did go on to become a pastor here. I do have many things I need to forgive. Just kidding. The truth is, I wasn't suddenly cured of not feeling forgiving 13 years ago in that situation. The truth is, I continue on to struggle with the hurts and the pains and the things that my brothers and sisters in faith commit against me, the ways that I have felt hurt. But I can't not forgive. I can't. I've brought anyone who's kind of from the Baptist tradition or from a tradition where you only do communion on the first of the month. I don't know if I freaked you out here. You walked in. It's not the first of the month. I've got communion. We're not doing communion today, but I brought this as my prop, my visual today, because the reason why we can't not forgive is so vividly captured in what we do as church. What we proclaim is at the center of who we are, and that is the Lord's Supper. Think about that. What do we do in that? We come when communion is served, when we are participating in that act of worship, we remember what Jesus told us on the night before he died. He instituted this practice of taking bread, taking the cup, to remember and to proclaim his death. Why? Why did he die? We say it when we lift the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. His body literally was broken for us. And we partake of that. If you are part of this worshiping community, whether it's here, whether it's in another church, whether you've taken it once or twice, whether you have taken it multiple times, every time we take that, we are saying, thank you, I receive your forgiveness, Jesus. So how dare you not forgive your brother or your sister who does something against you, given what Jesus has done? That is really, really puts it in perspective, just as this story is really, it really catches our attention, that we must forgive. Jesus explicitly commands us that we need to forgive, no exception, no matter how terrible that thing is that somebody has done against us. But it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. We need to come to Jesus for that empowering spirit, that Holy Spirit strength, in order to choose to forgive and then to live out each day that forgiveness. Now, I just want to mention, we're going to explore this a little bit more in a few minutes, but I do want to highlight right here, forgiveness is not synonymous with reconciliation. It's not. And I'm going to say a few more words about that, but I just want to bring that out right now, because like me, you might be thinking of all these examples of where, like, yep, I get we have to forgive, but some things are unforgivable. No, nothing is unforgivable, but not all things are reconcilable. So we'll explore that in just a moment. But I want to spend a few more minutes now leading us through a time of what it takes to do the hard work of forgiveness, of choosing to forgive. So I want to pause for a moment. I'm not done speaking. This is not the closing prayer. But I want us to spend just a few minutes in a practice of prayer. I want to pause and give space for us just for a moment to pray, but to also consider, is there unforgiveness that I'm holding that's actually keeping me back from receiving and being the church, from imagining and becoming this community that God has created? So I invite you into this prayer with me. And I'm going to read it, and I'm going to invite you to reflect. If you want to write down anything or take notes on your phone, you can. But join me in this prayer. Jesus, you instruct us in the Lord's Prayer that as you forgive us, so should we forgive others. Today, we choose to forgive. We declare that we will make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who has offended us. Lord, we remember that you have forgiven. Therefore, we must forgive others. As a church family, we choose to owe nothing to anyone except for our obligation to love them. We confess that as we love our neighbors, we fulfill what you have called us to be. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us all as individuals and as a church family to forgive the people who have hurt us. Heal our emotions that have been wounding us. Teach us how to love unconditionally. Help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak, just as you are, God. Holy Spirit, remind us of all the grace extended to us despite our sins. Help us to generously extend grace to others who have sinned against us. Discipline us so that we will not easily take offense. Lord, help us to extend mercy to others and let go of the past so that we can move forward toward our future. Forgive us, Lord, for not being forgiving. Forgive us for holding grudges, for thinking evil thoughts, for seeking revenge. Forgive us for hatred, for malice. Forgive us for not letting your love flow through us to others. Forgive us for gossiping, for lying. Forgive us for rehearsing offenses in our minds over and over again. Lord, right now, in a moment of silence, forgive me for these sins that I have committed. Remind us, Lord, that in your word, you say that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us abundantly, generously. So, Holy Spirit, remind us all to forgive each other and other people, and help us to forgive. Holy Spirit, bring to mind now, to remembrance, those that I'm feeling prompted to forgive. And in this quiet moment, I invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the names or the faces of people that you need to forgive. As you see that face in your mind, as you hear that name, say or write down, I choose to forgive, and name them. Lord, help us to trust you to heal any wounds in our souls caused by unforgiveness. Amen. Just as in my story, forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Maybe someone came to mind for you, maybe not. But I imagine if you spend more time thinking about it, there might be someone or something that you have not forgiven. Maybe you think it's not a big deal. Friends, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to let unforgiveness stay in our hearts. It really is. It will destroy us. It will destroy you. Maybe not in a big way. Maybe not in a radical way. But if you take this bread and drink this cup each week, if you come to Jesus, if you truly believe he's forgiven you, and he has, then you must forgive others. If I was to say one thing that I imagine for the church that I hope would be true, It is that we would get rid of all these ridiculous cliches we pass around. And here's the one that I really hate in regards to forgiveness. Forgive and forget. Have you heard that one before? We can't forget what's been wrong done to us. Have you ever felt like, how horrible am I? Because I'm supposed to forgive and forget. That's the Christian way. That's the church way. Forgive and forget. But I can't forget because I have been so hurt, and there's consequences sometimes to the ways people hurt us, isn't there? Friends, forgive and forget is not a Bible verse. It's not in there. You won't find it. If you find it, come after to me, and I will never preach this sermon again. It's not there, and it's not what God teaches. And even, you know, it's come because we hear things like that God forgets the things that we've done, that as far as the east from the west, we hear all these things. And yes, God does not hold against us our sins, but God is not forgetful. It's not like he suddenly, oh, I didn't even know you did that. Okay, we'll continue on, I forgive it. He doesn't hold it against us, and that's what forgiveness is. We don't hold on to it and continue to hold it against that person. We might not ever forget the hurt and the pain. That woman in a previous place that I was pastoring, I will not forget the things that she's done. Even if she begs and pleads and apologizes and sorry, the words can't be forgotten, the actions can't be taken back. I won't forget them. But I have no right to continue to allow them to harm me, to carry them with me. It's hard daily work. And there are moments I'm triggered. When someone talks in a way that she might have talked, when someone does something similar that hurt me, sometimes I get triggered by that. And then I put that onto that person. Unfairly. Anyone else do that? It's unfair. But that's the ways that we don't forget the things that have hurt us and why we must continue to do daily hard work of forgiving, of working through to live out that forgiveness. It's a lot harder to maintain forgiveness than to continue on in bitterness, in gossip, in anger, in resentment. It's a lot easier for me, even to make a joking kind of way, like, oh, I'm not even going to tell you the things she did, because that's actually not good for me. I need to completely let it go. We have to keep going to God. He empowers us by his Holy Spirit. He strengthens us by his grace to keep forgiving. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit each day. And that's what I imagine church to be. The place where we come together, no matter our age, no matter our backgrounds, no matter what hurts we carry, no matter what ways we've hurt one another in this space. I imagine that as church, we come together and we help one another live out that forgiveness. Every day, we hold each other in prayer. We build one another up. We sing praises together. We read the Word of God. We take communion together, trusting for ourselves and for one another that we can live out this radical, life-changing forgiveness that Jesus extends to us individually. No matter how We preach this all the time, and perhaps you responded to a message. No matter what you've done, no matter what's in your past, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He has come to make your whole life new. That is true. And if you respond and come to Jesus and say, I want that, I receive that, that's just the beginning. Because now you are invited with Jesus to bring his spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, I said just a moment ago, forgiveness and reconciliation are not synonymous. They're not the same thing. Last week, I think Elaine actually really got into this with church conflict. Really what she was opening up is how you work through a conflict and then engage in reconciliation process. You don't have to be reconciled to someone to forgive them. You need to forgive. I need to forgive. We need to forgive. Where the church comes in, where we come in as a forgiving church, is then we help one another to do that work of working towards reconciliation. It may or may not be possible, depending on the situation, depending on the person, depending on what's going on. Reconciliation may not mean that there ever is a restoration of relationship, because reconciliation involves the other person. Forgiveness is personal. We choose to forgive. We have to. Reconciliation depends on the person who offended us being willing to work that through. So we started this out with Peter saying, okay, Jesus, you've told us what we need to do here. You know, we need to go to our brother and sister who sinned against us. You've given this nice little framework of what to do. So how many times do I forgive them? And Jesus really wanted to drive home the point in this parable, in this story, about this difference. Peter, you got to forgive innumerous times. It's not actually 77 times. Don't start counting up. I've forgiven that person 77 times, so I'm good. Fulfilled scripture. Jesus was saying forgiveness is limitless. Reconciliation, though, takes hard work, and it takes two people or multiple people. So friends, I want, as we continue and as you continue in this series, I hope that you will see how no matter what we want in church, no matter if your imaginations are the way the church is filled, certain music, I'm a country music fan, I think all hymns should be country, but so far nobody's granted me that imagination. And no matter what you think or imagine church should be like, God has already said, this is what church is, and this is what I want you to imagine and to become, this place of forgiveness. Our young people, I work, as Elaine said, I work predominantly within next generation ministries in particular. Our young people, our children, our youth, they know they don't measure up to things. They know. They get told that all the time. What they need to hear is that Jesus forgives them and that we forgive them, no matter what they do. What we need to hear is that we are forgiven. We need to forgive ourselves. That's a whole other sermon. But we need to forgive others, and we need to be a place where that forgiveness is enacted and where we worked together to bring about reconciliation and restoration. Because, of course, Jesus, that really is ultimately what he's about. He doesn't just stop at forgiveness. He completely restores all, and he is all about reconciling the darkest and the deepest of circumstances. But it starts with what our choice needs to be, our part in it, and that is to extend forgiveness just as Jesus has, no strings attached, completely forgiven us. If you receive this gift, and I hope and pray that you have, then, my brothers and sisters, forgive one another. Every day, whatever ways we need to, ask the Holy Spirit. I don't know what your daily rhythms are in terms of how you spend time with God, but if you spend time in prayer, it might be helpful to take an account each night, to spend even just 30 seconds in silence and say, Jesus, where am I holding on to unforgiveness? Help me to choose to say the words, I forgive this person, this situation. I read a book last year called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And in there, the author has a prayer, I think in that book, or one of her writings, about a daily prayer that she has and that might be helpful. And it's a prayer where she writes, this might be helpful. God, I give this situation to you. I release my evidence of all the reasons that person was so wrong, my need to see that person punished, my need for an apology, my need for this to feel fair, my need for you to declare me right and them wrong. Give me your peace in place of my pain. I think that every day I can pray that and there's something comes to mind of some way that I've felt hurt or offended. Lots of times it's not intentional. We hurt each other without even meaning to. We say things in a way, we look at someone in a way, we offend and we don't even realize it. Forgive. Don't let it fester. Don't let it take root. Because that tiny seed of unforgiveness, it will grow. It will grow, and it will prevent you from being the church that Jesus imagined, the bride of Christ, not the beast of Christ.